أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائه أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Dear viewers, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you remember, our previous sessions were devoted to the issue of the functions of truthfulness. I touched many of the functions and uses of being truthful. In this session, will also be devoted to further explanation of the uses of truthfulness. According to Islamic sources and Islamic texts, one of the uses and one of the functions of truthfulness is that, according to Islamic texts, if one is truthful, one is self-satisfied. If one is honest, one is proud before one's conscience. Of course, you might be acquainted with the concept of conscience. Conscience is something that is accepted by all scholars, no matter whether they accept metaphysics or not. They agree unanimously that there is something in human being called conscience. Every human being, every individual possesses this talent, this caliber in one form or the other. But of course, as far as the origin of conscience is concerned, there is difference among scholars. Some scholars are of the view that conscience is something that is acquired through education. It is education that makes up your conscience. You are not born with conscience. Conscience is not something inherent in you. You acquire conscience. And that is why they are of the view that conscience differ from place to place and from culture to culture. It is the education, it is your teachers, it is your parents who, according to them, build up your conscience and construct your conscience. If your education is a secular education, you would possess a secular conscience. And if your education is a religious type of education, your conscience will be a religious conscience. So conscience is based on your education. The education you receive at schools, the education you receive at homes, the training you receive here and there, all these factors provide you with the conscience. They form the different elements that are involved in the making of conscience. So this is one theory. But there is another theory that says that conscience is something inherent in all human beings. No matter where you live, you are in possession of some sort of conscience. You innately agree that something is good and something is bad. You inherently believe that something is good and something is bad. Even if you are not educated, even if you are not given any training, you are to some extent able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. So, according to this latter theory, conscience is something that is given by God to you. It is the voice of God in you. God is not physically present in you to speak with you. God is not physically present over there to address you and to talk to you. God talks to you using the voice of your conscience. Sometimes God reproaches you through your conscience. God rebukes you through the voice of your conscience. And there are moments when God praises you through your conscience. He admires you through your conscience. So you see that according to this latter theory, conscience is the representative of God. It is an element that represents God in you. It is the voice of God in you. Sometimes it blames you, and sometimes it praises you. If you do something good, it praises you. It gives you a high mark. It gives you encouragement. But if you do something wrong, then it begins reproaching you. It starts rebuking you. So anyway, conscience, according to scholars, exists in each one of us. So if you are truthful, if you are honest, if you move and your movement is in accordance with the principle of truth, then you will be self-satisfied and you will be proud before your conscience. Your conscience will praise you, and as a result, you will be proud. You will be happy. You will feel distinguished. But of course, if you are not truthful, if God forbids you are a liar, if you lie with your friends, with your family members, and so on, then you will feel ashamed of yourself before your conscience. You will feel humiliated before your conscience, and your conscience will rebuke you. It will reproach you, giving you no high mark. So as a result, you will be feeling ashamed of yourself. So this is very good, thus, to be honest and to be truthful. Because we want no inconsistency in our own psychology. We want to be having a consistent personality. We can have a consistent personality. We can have a coherent personality, if we are truthful, and if there is no wrongfulness in us. And that is why this is Imam Ali, our first Imam, who says, in the form of an answer to a question, Ayyun Nas Akram. Once the Holy Imam was asked, who is the greatest? Who is the most dignified among human beings? قال من صدق في المواطين. The Holy Imam in reply said, the greatest one among you is he who always speaks the truth. It is a part of your habit. If speaking the truth is a part of your habit, then you are a great personality and you are a dignified person. You are an honorable person. No matter, even if your family members, even if your friends do not appreciate you, you are a person of dignity because you speak the truth, because you do not tell a lie, and because you encourage others to follow the truth. And because of all this, you are a great person. You are a great person, not only in the eyes of the society, but only in the eyes of your own self. You see, sometimes we do certain things, others admire us. But in the heart of our heart, we are not satisfied. We do not give any mark to ourselves. We do not appreciate ourselves because we know there is something that goes wrong in our achievements. We have not followed truth in getting what we have achieved. But sometimes we do certain deeds, the society reproaches us. The society does not agree with us. It criticizes us in one way or the other. But you see, we are satisfied. But we are, in the heart of our heart, satisfied. That satisfaction which we draw through these kind of deeds is much more important than the satisfaction we draw through the admiration which we get by the society. Inner satisfaction is very much important. It is very much important to gain inner satisfaction. You can get inner satisfaction through speaking the truth. You might face certain problems because of speaking the truth. You might face certain limitations because of speaking the truth. But you can tolerate all these things. You can undergo all these things because of achieving self-satisfaction and because of achieving the inner satisfaction. Since inner satisfaction is important, we can tolerate all kinds of difficulties. We can undergo all sorts of problems. So this is one of the advantages and one of the functions of speaking the truth. And this is also actually mentioned in a verse in the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran also tells us about the existence of something which we call conscience in human beings. According to the Holy Quran, God has given us a potentiality. God has given us a talent or a potential that helps us distinguish between right and wrong. And we are given this capability by God to distinguish between right and wrong. This is what the scholars call conscience. The Holy Quran says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Here God swears. He says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, by the soul in what has made it perfect. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He has inspired it to understand what is right and what is wrong for it. And this is what we call conscience. So the Holy Quran also accepts the concept of conscience and the theory of conscience. And this is what Martin Mutahari also agrees with. Based on this verse, Martin Mutahari, a distinguished scholar, says that yes, we have something that is called conscience in us. And we try in one form and the other to comply with the demands of our conscience. We try to put into practice the orders and the commandments of our conscience. And you see that Martin Mutahari is a distinguished scholar of modern times. He was a learned scholar. He knew not only Islamic studies, but also Islamic philosophy and Islamic theology. He was acquainted with different sciences and with different branches of knowledge. And therefore, he has a distinguished status and position in the eyes of modern scholars in Persia. But anyway, he is of the view that we have something that is called conscience in us. And we must try to agree with the voice of conscience. And if you are truthful, you will be actually proud before your conscience. Whereas if you are not truthful, if you are, God forbiddance, dishonest, then you will not be proud before your conscience. Let us talk about another function of the quality of truthfulness. Another function of this quality is that if you are truthful and if you try to be truthful, you must know that you will be ultimately the winner. You will be the ultimate winner if you are truthful. When we talk of ultimate victory, we want to imply that in the short run, you might suffer. You cannot expect that you will always be winner, both in the short term as well as in the long term. In the short term, you might suffer from certain difficulties. You might face certain problems. But you will overcome all these problems sooner or late. And these problems will be removed sooner or late. And as a result, you will be ultimately victorious. You will get victory ultimately. And this is what the history tells us. And this is what we learn by studying history. Look at the story of Yusuf or Joseph? How did Prophet Yusuf live? Was he an honest person or not? Was he a truthful person or not? According to historical documents that are available, he was an honest person. He was a truthful person. He never happened to tell a lie. He was always speaking the truth. And he was a truthful person. His words were truthful. His actions were truthful. His policies were truthful. On the whole, he was a truthful person. When he was tested by God, he passed the test very successfully. When Zulaikha tried to seduce him, he was not deceived by Zulaikha. He did not forget about truthfulness while facing the temptations. There were temptations. He himself says, "Inna la ubarri'u nafsi, inna an-nafsa la'ammaratun bis-su'." He agrees that there were temptations, evil temptations, but he overcame all these sort of evil temptations because of relying on God and because of being truthful. And he, of course, faced certain difficulties. He was imprisoned. And he was rebuked by the ruler of the time. And he was punished very severely. But eventually, he was a winner. He became, of course, an important personality of that time. He was the ruler. Everything was under his command. You see, because he was a truthful person, because he was an honest individual, therefore, the future was of him. The future belonged to him. He was the winner of the future. He became victorious. His enemies were defeated. They gained nothing. Who got the success and who succeeded? It was Prophet Joseph who succeeded. Same is the case with every individual. Look at your surroundings. Look at your own life. You can find examples here and there that approve of this reality, that testify to the truthfulness of this reality. If you are truthful, if you are honest, sooner or later you will win. You will overcome the difficulties and you will get the success. All this can be done, of course, if you are forbearing things. If your toleration is high, if you are patient enough, if you are, of course, truthful and at the same time patient, then make sure and be certain that you will be the winner. And that is why the Holy Imam, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, tells us, As-sidqu sayfullah. Truthfulness is the sword of Allah. Fi arzihi wa samaihi. In his earth, in his, as well as in his skies, in heavens. Aynama hawa bihi. Yaqut. Wherever this word falls, it leaves a deep cut. It cuts. So you see, here truthfulness is compared to a sword. Just as a sword can cut, and can be very sharp and can cut, truthfulness can also cut. It can also be effective. So let us be truthful, and let us follow the commandment of our holy Imam. And by following this commandment, of course, we will be victorious, and the future will be belonging to us, and we will be the owner of the future. Thank you.